My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's amazing here. And I am so excited to be standing here with Ali King. Ali has been an incredible support for women in tech here in Scotland and Edinburgh at large. I'm here in Edinburgh and Scotland in large. And I just couldn't leave Edinburgh without interviewing her. So I begged if she'd make time on this Sunday night to get together with me in the cold and have this women in tech conversation. Hi, Ali.
Hello. Yeah, it's great to be here talking to you.
So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about FanDuel.
Yeah, my name's Ali King. I am a data developer. So I work doing software development with Hadoop and related technologies. So I work at FanDuel, which people who are from America and like sports will probably have heard of us, but if you're not so much into sports, maybe not. So it's a daily fantasy sports sort of company website app where you choose the best possible team out of all the players sort of playing in matches tonight, and you score points depending on how good you are at picking a team.
And how did you get involved with FanDuel? How long have you been with them?
I've been there about a year and a half now. So what happened was I was previously working at a company called Blipphoto, which is something that's it was a very kind of popular company in Edinburgh, a very small company. It was a photo-based social network. And I was there for about 6 months, and then unfortunately the company went into liquidation and we all got laid off, and so I needed to find somewhere else to work. So that was a very small company, total headcount of 11, dev team of 3, and so moving from that to FanDuel was quite a change, but I did find it was a really, really good opportunity to specialise in terms of what I was doing. So at Blipphoto I was doing sort of general back-end PHP, some database stuff, and at FanDuel then I was doing big data development in Python, using technologies like Hadoop, Hive, Redshift, and other related frameworks and libraries. And it was quite a difference in terms of what I was doing and the development process, and also how it fitted in terms of the size of the company, in that I'd come from a place where I was in, there was only one dev team and that was all of the developers, and then going to a place where things were a lot more specialized and broken down into different parts of the application, and everything was at a much larger scale. But I definitely enjoy working at FanDuel, and I've been very pleased to see that they've been doing a lot of work in terms of improving inclusion and diversity recently. So you might think that a sports-based company might not be the best place for a woman to work, but certainly they've been doing all the best they can to improve things, and been doing things such as unconscious bias training and other related projects in order to improve the experience for everyone.
And you were saying just in 2009 FanDuel had all of 5 people on staff and now it has over 300?
Yeah, it's grown. I think probably the biggest year for growth was 2015, which was when I joined. So it seemed at that point there were a bunch of new people starting every week. So it has grown significantly over time, and particularly the last few years. And it's definitely grown in terms of users and revenues over that time as well. So it is a company that I know a lot of tech companies can have high valuations, but not a lot of money come in. But FanDuel's had that from the start.
And when did you fall in love with technology? When did you first become intrigued with the world of tech?
Well, I did actually study engineering at university, but it was electronics rather than programming. And it was a little while later that I figured out that programming was what I wanted to do. And so I ended up doing a lot of self-study and taking courses, you know, night school and things to get some qualifications in that. And then eventually I got to the point where I could get a job where, you know, programming was my main thing.
And how old were you when you were started teaching yourself technology?
When I started teaching programming, I was about in my mid-20s. And I only started working as a professional programmer after the age of 30. I think it was about 31 when I got my first proper job that was the main thing.
Incredible, because I mean, so many people, male or female, mm-hmm. or alien or smurf, are just intimidated by the world of tech. And I think to hear that you started in technology post 30 is really mm-hmm. inspiring and hopeful.
Yeah, and I think I had the same idea there. I thought, you know, sort of growing up, well, I couldn't really become a programmer because you had to be in like coding out of the womb almost, and then realizing that you're later on that actually that's not the case at all, and you can still make it. I mean, it can be tough to get into it in later life in terms of that, you know, some employers have a very narrow view of what they expect, that they expect you to have gone down the computer science degree route. But there are lots who are a lot more open-minded about that, and they don't care about, you know, sort of how you got there, but it's just a matter of, well, what can you do?
What would you recommend to somebody who wants to get involved in the world of technology today who knows nothing? Where do they start?
Well, number one is talk to people. Find people who work in technology and just kind of ask them, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question. So just ask them, well, kind of, well, what's your job like? Kind of, how did you get there? If I was going to learn this, you know, what would I do?
And what would you say about tech makes you feel alive? Like, why is it the world that you gravitate toward every day that you wake up?
I guess I like problem solving, and I like languages, and I think those things come together, and I like the fact that you do have that sort of, you know, creativity. So you have the satisfaction of solving a puzzle, you have the satisfaction of, you know, writing things in a way that is you know, comprehensible to other people, that there's a sort of a rhythm to it, that it's clear and understandable, and just getting things to work.
As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, you're a part of a lot of organizations that support women in tech. What are mm-hmm. some of these organizations here?
Well, the main one at the moment is Girl Geek Scotland. So that's something that I first got in touch with them when they ran a workshop about 6 years ago for women in business. So basically kind of looking for helping with entrepreneurship. And through that, I met a number of people. And then at that point, I was still kind of working on getting into a sort of a programming job. More recently then, I ran a Closure Bridge workshop with them a couple of years ago. So that was the first Closure Bridge workshop run in Europe. So that's basically a one-day workshop for women or other underrepresented groups learning to use the Clojure programming language, which is a functional programming language. It's very sort of elegant in style. The community for that language had a bit of a lack of diversity, and so some people thought that to do more with that. So from that, I got involved in the Closure Bridge organization, and I ended up talking at the Euroclosure conference in Barcelona, which was a bit scary but enjoyable in the end. And then from that, with Girl Geek Scotland, then what we have coming up is we're going to be running some workshops and hack events around blockchain. Another thing with Girl Geek Scotland is the mentoring network. So I think you were speaking to Maria Gutierrez from Free Agents.
Yes.
So the way that I met her was through, we had a meeting around the mentoring, and, you know, we were basically we were saying, well, you know, this is what I'm looking for in terms of, this is the kind of mentoring that I need. This is what I can mentor other people in. And I came out of that meetup with both a mentor and a mentee. So mentor was Maria, who's VP of engineering at another successful Scottish tech company.
And definitely be sure to check out her episode on the Women in Tech podcast.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then a mentee who is a student at CodeClan, which is the main sort of Scottish coding boot camp.
Totally. And you guys will include all the links in the show notes. So we'll include the link to Maria's episode. We'll include the link to CodeClan. We'll include the link to, how do you say, Girl Geek Scotland. Girl Geek Scotland. We'll include all these links so that you're able to find. Girl Geek Scotland has a Twitter handle. Do you know it off the top of your head?
That's Girl Geek Scots.
Yeah, Girl Geek Scott. So if you want to tweet, definitely tweet at them. How can people connect with you?
My Twitter handle is Ali underscore King. That's A-L-I underscore K-I-N-G. So I'm not that hard to find.
But yeah, she has such a great name. It's like a strong name, but short and memorable. I love it. And one thing I can't let you go with before we wrap up the conversation is, again, I'm so moved that you got involved in tech later. I think I find that so inspiring. What were you doing before then?
I was working for a sort of government organization in a sort of admin type role. So it's kind of like provider management in education. And, you know, it was something where I hoped that within that role, then I would have the chance to do more sort of technical things. But it turned out that there wasn't really a path for that within the organization. And so eventually it got to the point where, you know, I figured that in order to continue, I needed to leave and go somewhere else. And so that's what I did.
And you just took a leap. You must have been terrified when you took that leap.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I did actually hand in my notice without having a lined up paid job to go to. Which was scary, but, you know, I had sort of confidence in the fact that just knowing that tech skills are so in demand, that I would be able to get a job. And within about 6 weeks of leaving, then I managed to get my first contract work with the National Health Service, doing SQL like reports, development on a contract basis.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm sure you guys feel the exact same way that I feel. Ali, thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast.
No problem.
If you guys want to connect with more incredible women like Ali, you know you could just go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight there. womenintechvip.com. I did that so like you guys don't have to like figure out which one is the right one. And I'll see you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Know that you could always tweet me at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.